Hello and welcome to the Digital Media Podcast. I'm Honor of Serene.
And I'm Tim Gilmore, and today we are going to talk about the death of the web.
So Tim, are you in mourning right now?
Not really.
Why not?
For the same reason that 10 years ago when they were crying about how the web was dying and push technology was going to take over everything, same reason I wasn't mourning back then, because it's all BS.
Exactly. And for those who aren't aware and for those who have not seen the article, Wired basically put out an article that says that the web is dead, that the web is no longer relevant and the web is being used less and less. And I think Tim and I are on the same page when we say this, that this is absolutely untrue at this point.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good headline. You know, it's an attention-grabbing headline. It's gotten a lot of press in the last several days. But it's total crap, you know? I mean, it's total crap.
Yeah.
They're talking about, it's basically it's the old point-cast push service and Microsoft Live's desktop are going to replace the web article, except it's 10 years later. I mean, it's exactly the same thing, except now they're talking about apps and peer-to-peer traffic and video streaming as opposed to talking about point-casts. But it's exactly the same thing.
Exactly. And, you know, my biggest reason for saying that the web is not dead, and again, this article is completely made up, and I think it's partially because they want the page views at this point, is because I read about this article, and I read the article on the web. Yeah. I didn't read it in a newspaper. And I think the reason that they're crying that the web is dead is because that their main business, which is a magazine, a printed piece of paper, is dead. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I think it's just a way for them to retaliate and say, hey, listen, it's not dead. It is dead. You should go back to paying us money, $5 a magazine or something.
Yeah, you know, that's entirely possible. But, you know, it's like I'm looking at the article on their website right now. Imagine that. And they've got this real nice, pretty graph that goes from 1990 to 2010, talking about various different aspects of data transport on the web. You got a telnet, DNS, email, news groups, other, whatever that is, peer-to-peer, video, and the web, right? So I'm looking at this. And yeah, telnet's not the web, and yeah, news groups generally are read on the web these days. And you got web decreasing so much, but you know what you're seeing is you're seeing this huge spike in video. Well, define video. I mean, because I can guarantee you that the bulk of that bandwidth is not streaming services like Netflix. I can guarantee you it's YouTube, Google Videos, stuff like that. And where do you watch those? You watch them on the web.
Web. Yeah. And it's also funny that the way they bring this about, their first sentence says that the 2 decades after its birth, the World Wide Web is in decline as simpler, sleeker services, think apps, are less about the searching and more about the getting. I think a lot of different companies, including Google, Facebook, and Twitter, would really, really disagree with that statement. And these are not small companies. Some of them make money, some of them don't, but the fact of the matter is they're all $1 billion-plus companies.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I mean, even when you look at something like Facebook, which in my mind, you know, Zuckerberg and those guys are basically trying to build another meta layer over the internet to keep people on Facebook as opposed to the internet, which seems to be working for some strange reason. But I mean, even with that, it's still all over the net. I mean, yeah, you've got a ton of people using Facebook Mobile, including myself, which is great, but it's a secondary sort of thing. You know, it's not a primary method for obtaining that data and interacting on that network. It's basically, oh, I'm out at a restaurant and I need to check my messages in case somebody sent me something or I'm waiting for something. But the bulk of the activity, including apps and most of the, you know, chat functionality, a lot of the new stuff, it's still all World Wide Web. It's still http.www.facebook.com, you know, and that's how it's going to stay for the time being, simply because deployment costs are lower, what you can do is more, you can reach more people, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, exactly. And it's also very surprising that Wired put this out because, I mean, I'm not sure where they're getting their data from. And to me, it just looks wrong because I think in 2000, which is what where their peak is for the web. I'm pretty sure that people were using the web less than what they're using it today. I mean, think about it. In 2000, there were very, very few good web-based email applications. There were very few web-based social networking sites. There were basically no video sites at that point. And it's just very surprising that 2000 is the peak for them. I mean, I think that's where the bubble burst too, and it's really surprising. Again, it's just, I'm not sure where they're getting their data from or how they're even putting this chart together, but just doesn't seem right, because even here, email has gone down in 2010 to almost nothing.
Yeah, I mean, it says it's Cisco estimates based on CADA publications, you know, so sure, you know, the CADA data might be good or not. I really don't know, to tell you the truth. Web metrics are always one of those things that's kind of up in the clouds in terms of the overall internet. I mean, this is supposedly a U.S. data, U.S. only data set. You know, looking at web metrics, somebody like CADA, yeah, they probably have a lot of good information on that. I would be curious to see what Google says, since I can guarantee you that a large portion of why they bought Urchin years ago and made Google Analytics is simply so they can have access to the aggregated data sets generated by that, because they probably have one of the best samples of actual traffic from millions and millions of sites. Now, I mean, because I'm looking at this and it looks like it's talking about percentages of the whole, but it's not, you know, I think that's kind of misleading, since what it's not showing, or what it doesn't seem to be showing, is the actual raw bandwidth. So, I mean, this would kind of, this shows proportion, but it doesn't show actual bandwidth. And I can guarantee you that email bandwidth is higher now in a real absolute sense, in terms of, you know, megabits per second or gigabits per second, than it was in 2000. I can guarantee you. You know, if for no other reason than my mom and dad now use email.
I mean, it has to be. And the reason is, keep in mind, broadband, even at that point, was not very, it wasn't very penetrated. Yeah. I mean, I think now almost, well, I shouldn't say almost every person, but a lot of people, certainly far more people today, have access to broadband, whether that's, you know, wired broadband or wireless broadband, than they had in 2000. I remember in 2000, I don't think we even had routers. Routers, wireless routers.
I can tell you one thing. In 2000, when I was working at VidNet, which was a early video streaming company, we'd compress our videos. 320 by 200 was the highest res we gave. Yeah. You know, we delivered a 120 by 90 video for people on dial-up. Yeah. And that was a large proportion of the traffic to the site.
And Facebook now does 4K.
Yeah. Yeah.
So...
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, if I were the person writing this article, I think I would have titled it, "The Web is Changing Just Like Yesterday," because that's really what this is, you know. And in fact, you know, I look at this and I take it, okay, peer-to-peer, yeah, but that's just data going back and forth between people. The video and the web, I can guarantee you that probably 80% or more of that video is over the web, you know. Email is webmail is the predominant paradigm for email these days. I mean, you look at Outlook and you look at various other email clients, and fewer and fewer and fewer people are actually using those. Yeah. So, I mean, your point is totally valid that, you know, I mean, to say the web's dying is just dumb. Yeah. It's just dumb.
And again, you know, I'm sure that they Wired is Wired, and as any traditional publication, they do go through that checks and balances process to make sure that the information that they have is correct. And I'm sure that the information that they do have is correct, but they're just not categorizing it properly. They're not taking a look at it from a bigger perspective. I mean, you start off with something that says apps, but you don't define what those apps are.
Yeah, exactly. And the other thing with this is, you know, you're talking, if they're talking, okay, proportion of total U.S. internet traffic, so I assume they're talking about bandwidth, right? Okay, well, how big is a YouTube video versus the size of the average web page?
It's significantly more.
Yeah. I mean, for the download bandwidth of a single 10-minute YouTube video, you know, I could load up one of the more elaborate sites we make and load hundreds of pages easily, And that's with the heavier page loads that we build these days. You know, it's not the old days where you wanted a 30K page load. Now, like 400 or 500K on the first page is fine. Exactly. You know? So, I mean, you look at this and it's apples and oranges is what it is.
Yeah.
It's total apples.
And it's the same thing. I mean, I know we've talked about video. I know we've talked about a lot of different things. But even if you take a look at publishing, I mean, back in 2000, to find a good CMS, to find a reliable CMS, which is a content management system, mm-hmm. was basically impossible.
Yeah.
Today, there are very few sites that use HTML or just the basic page-by-page creation. A lot of the sites are CMS-based sites. It's a content management system where you can add pages by just clicking on a button.
Yeah, and especially with the prevalence of hosted third-party solutions like WordPress.com, which I'm not a WordPress user because I'm a Drupal guy, but it's a fantastic system, and you can go and log in, and they'll maintain everything for you right there, wing bang, you know, it's done. And that really opens things up dramatically. I mean, it's to the point where if you see a dot, for me at least, if I see a .html extension on a site, I either expect it to be a really old site that just has been up forever, or somebody who doesn't know what they're doing, or for a specific reason, usually security, you know? So, but yeah, you know, it's just, I look at this, and I think your point about Wired being, regardless of its being a technology magazine, primarily as a print magazine for a large segment of its user base, I look at it kind of as sour grapes, you know? I mean, it's the same deal with all these newspapers putting up paywalls and getting 8 subscribers. You know, they're not making the jump, even though they've devoted millions and millions and millions of dollars to these big elaborate websites, just simply because they just don't grok it. They just don't get it.
Yeah. And it's sad because, I mean, Wired is known to be one of the better magazines. It's really known to be one of the better, especially in the tech space, they're better known than someone like Time or something else. But the point is, regardless, this is just a very careless article. Mm-hmm. You don't publish anything like this without speaking with people across the board. I mean, this is a very academic article. I mean, you go through this, there are people, it's just too technical, doesn't make sense. And I think we both agree that this really is untrue and to a certain point, just a way to get a lot of page views.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I kind of look at it as, in a lot of ways, like Huffington Post style tabloid internet journalism, really. Yeah. I mean, make somebody yell, and they'll go read it.
Exactly. I mean,
exactly. And it's very, very silly.
All right. Well, if Wired decides to update their article or to publish a new one, we will definitely talk about it. But at this point, as people who make their livings on the internet and doing things digitally, I think it's pretty safe to say that the web is not dead.
Yeah, no. If the web was dead, I don't think I'd remember how to pay bills anymore. So let's hope it doesn't die anytime soon.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, Tim.
Have a good one, my friend.
Thank you for listening to the Digital Media Podcast. To learn more about the business and technology of digital content, visit digitalmediapodcast.com.